Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back. My name's Andrew Shaw. It'd be lovely to say it's good to see you again, but we'll have to wait for another day for that. Let's begin with a prayer. Father God, you have given us your word to show us how to live. Send your Holy Spirit and open our hearts and minds that we may learn more how to put it into practice day by day. In Jesus' name. Amen. My topic today is fasting, the last in the series on spiritual disciplines. And it's good to ask ourselves why we have examined each of these in detail. As Alex reminded us at the start, spiritual disciplines are tools to help us grow closer to God so that we develop in faith and maturity. Just as we develop our musical skills through practice and our sporting skills through training, spiritual disciplines all need exercising. The ultimate aim is the total transformation of the whole person. So, we come to fasting. Strictly speaking, fasting means going without food, not just chocolate, for a shorter or longer period. We are right now in the month of Ramadan, when millions of Muslims across the world will be fasting from sunrise to sunset. Our first meal of the day is traditionally called breakfast, when we break our fast during the hours of darkness. Fasting is a form of self-control in which we demonstrate mastery over our bodies in order to heighten our spiritual awareness. The purpose of fasting is to loosen to some degree the ties which bind us to the world of material things and our surroundings as a whole, in order that we may concentrate all our spiritual powers upon the unseen and eternal things. Fasting is strongly linked with prayer. Fasting reminds us that our source of life is found only in God. It demonstrates our dependence on God's mercy. When we need to seek God for some particular direction or blessing, we turn aside from food or other distractions in order to focus on Him. Some have found it helpful to fast from TV, the phone, and other social media for a period of time. Some make a point of fasting during Lent, during a retreat, or on particular days of the week, as long as it doesn't become another legalistic burden. Now, it has to be said that this spiritual discipline has been neglected by Protestant Christians until more recently. In his helpful paper on the subject, Steve Wilcoxon suggests that the reasons for this may be cultural. The huge popularity of food, as seen in various TV programs, or a reaction against legalistic, formal religion. But he goes on to suggest that perhaps we don't fast because we're not at all that serious about God. All of us must come to our own conclusions about this, as with all the spiritual disciplines. The current situation may make this practice completely impractical for some people, but for others, it could actually be an opportunity. So what does the Bible say about fasting? Let's look at the Gospel reading first. Jesus is talking about fasting in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you fast, when you give to the needy, when you pray. Note that he doesn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast. In other words, he assumed that his hearers will fast. And he tells them clearly how to go about it and how not to. Quite simply, it should be for God's delight and no one else's. We shouldn't be playing to the gallery, but humbly accepting that God's way is best. While absolute secrecy may be difficult, the most important feature is that it should not be to make us look good in the sight of others, justifying ourselves or showing off. Jesus tells us a parable about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. Now the Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, greedy, dishonest, or immoral, especially not like that tax collector there. I fast twice a week, and I give you one tenth of all my income." But the other would not even raise his eyes to the good Lord in heaven. But he beat upon his breast, saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, sinner that I am." And it was this man, said Jesus, and not the other, who was justified in the sight of God. So this is how not to fast with a flourish of trumpets, but that shouldn't prevent us from trying. What examples do we have, apart from the Lord Jesus himself, of other people who fasted? There was Moses the lawgiver, David the king, Elijah the prophet, Esther the queen, Anna the prophetess, Paul and Silas, plus many of the great Christians throughout history, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, and Billy Graham. Billy Graham said that believers who never practice fasting are missing a spiritual discipline that has blessed many throughout the ages. And that is especially so when God's people fast and pray together. There's lots of biblical evidence for that. What kind of fasting then does God approve of? This is where our reading from Isaiah 58 comes in. It's worth reading the whole chapter, but I'm going to focus on verses 6 to 9. Firstly, God demands that we loose the chains of injustice and set the oppressed free. This is the passionate theme that runs all the way through the Old Testament and continues on the lips of Jesus. The people to whom Isaiah wrote practiced a religion without charity or justice. Today's church is in the spotlight as never before in these times of desperate need and unprecedented opportunity. Will we rise to the challenge? Secondly, more specifically, we are to share our food with the hungry, shelter the homeless, and provide them with clothes. Isn't this exactly what loving our neighbour is all about? Our faith lacks sincerity if it doesn't reach out to others. Fasting can be beneficial both spiritually and physically, but at its best, it only helps the person practicing it. True fasting is more than what we don't eat. It is pleasing God by applying his standards, his word, to our society. Thirdly, look at what God promises to those who keep his chosen fast. Light, healing, righteousness, glory. And finally, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." And Jesus concludes his teaching on fasting by saying, "Your heavenly Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you openly." In both our readings, it is clear that what God values above all is in our faith is genuineness, transparency, authenticity, what shows when no one else is looking. Writing in the Church Times a couple of weeks back, the eminent physicist and theologian John Polkinghorne said this: "If faith is really dependent on the goodwill of the Creator, it's something that will affect my whole life. I can't believe that Jesus was the Son of God and was raised from the dead without it affecting my life. It isn't just a question of ticking the boxes. It's a question of how you orientate your whole existence. Right now, of all times, in this time of great danger and crisis, in our country and across the world, is when our faith is going to be seen for what it really is." Finally, a few practical tips provided again by Steve Wilcoxon. Number one, be realistic about your own physical condition. However, some of us, all of us almost, can manage something in this discipline of fasting. Number two, decide on a manageable initial target, perhaps by cutting out a main meal of the day or missing out on food for a complete 24-hour period. And always drink plenty of water. Number three, fix a small prayer list in advance so you can be properly focused. By fasting, even occasionally, we can express solidarity with the poor, not just in other countries, but increasingly in our own streets too. Donating to food banks or actually helping out with them. I know some in our churches are already doing this. So, whether it's for self-discipline, to accompany earnest prayer, or to express solidarity with the poor, Jesus took it for granted that fasting would be a part of our Christian life. His concern was that we should not, like the hypocrites, draw attention to ourselves, but be honest before God and focus on His kingdom, His will, and His priorities. And fasting is one way in which we can do just that. Let's pray together. Father God, teach us how to better understand and use the various spiritual disciplines so we can come closer to you and be more and more the kind of people you want us to be. Help us to remember to look out for our neighbours and all those in need, and so fulfil your will for our lives. Amen.